Oh, we are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore positively almost into August. And though couldn't get out of July without injuries. I'm going to be eating a lot of food in August. I was just saying to my wife, I'm craving a specific non-sponsored food. And I'm thinking, I'm going to get over there a little later on in the month. And actually, this particular one is really high up on the list. I'm going to be eating every day in the month of August, 27 anniversaries into this thing here as of August the 3rd. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have Pressure Lux. I'll have Lucky Seven Doublers when I'm at the Beaumont next Thursday. That'll be day three, sort of day 24. We're doing a countdown. You'll see it all at Baltimore Positive. It all makes sense when it comes together. Also, our friends at Curio Wellness putting this up for this 27th anniversary. And this happens every single year. We are 27 years into having the football team because we started this in 98. We did have the team by then. So if we're putting eras as the 75 Colts are coming together, and Bruce Laird and I have been texting each other about Burt Jones this week. Training camp in July, and when Burt Jones comes on, Roger Carr and these guys, they'll say, we played six preseason games back in our era. They play three. Dude, they couldn't get out of July. And I appreciate that your headline was a little wordy on the website, but I thought likely is likely to miss the season opener.
Yeah, I mean, I think the lip service is that he still has a chance to be ready for week one. And look, is there a non-zero chance? Sure. But when you look at a fracture in the foot that requires surgery, I mean, you're typically looking at, even a minor one, that's a 6 to 8 week kind of thing. We're 5.5 weeks out. As of the middle of this week, the day after the injury occurred, 5.5 weeks, before the season opener in Buffalo. I mean, I'd be shocked if he's there for week one, but that doesn't mean he can't be there for week two. Doesn't mean he won't be there for week three. What hurts is knowing the first month of the season, how important it is where you start the year in Buffalo. You have Detroit in week three, and you have Kansas City in week four. We've talked about it. I mean, that's a pretty rigid opening month of the season, and we've talked about it going back to last September when the Ravens started 0-2 and what that meant. Yeah, they made the playoffs. Yeah, they got to the divisional round, but that 0-2 start all but eliminated their best chances to be a number one seed or at least a number two seed in the AFC. And it's why they were playing in Buffalo rather than the Bills coming to Baltimore. The likely thing, I mean, it's not catastrophic. I mean, this team has a lot of weapons on offense, right? There's two guys in my mind that if they lost, as far as there's, offensive skill players, that would be major problems. It'd be Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, right? And of course, the offensive line is a different animal, understanding, if something happened to Stanley or Linderbaum. But really, it's Lamar and Derrick Henry that if you don't have either one of those guys, it does fundamentally, drastically change what you are. And that's a Captain Obvious statement. But in the case of Isaiah Likely, you'd love to have him on the field against Buffalo. You do wonder how this potentially impacts him as far as his effectiveness when he does return. Because, I think back to 2 years ago, and that was a little bit later in the preseason. But if you recall, Marlon Humphrey had foot surgery in mid-August of 2023. Now, he came back early in the season, but what do we remember about that season? He had all kinds of issues, calves and multiple injuries. I mean, that was a injury plague season for him. So that's where you want to be careful here. That's where you don't want to rush Likely back too quickly. That's where you want to make sure that from a conditioning standpoint, from a health standpoint, a strength standpoint, that he truly is 100%, because you can't be so short-sighted in saying, oh, we need him for Buffalo. Oh, we need him for Detroit in week three. Oh, we need him for Kansas City in week four. And before you know it, he has some kind of setback, or I don't know, he pops a hamstring, whatever it is, if you rush him back and he's not quite ready. And then you are starting to talk about how effective he is for the entire season, right? So that's where the timing of this is on their side, right? It's much better that this happened on July 29th or July 28th than August 20th. And then you're saying, oh, well, he's out the entire first month, kind of no questions asked at that point. So he's got time. At the same time, you need to be smart. It's a marathon. Yes, the month of September is important. Yes, they've got some big games early on, but you still have to be looking at it through the lens of the big picture. And I will say this, you're certainly even happier now that you didn't trade Mark Andrews, right? I mean, we talked about that throughout March and April and even through the draft and even into OTAs a little bit. So, yeah, you still have a three-time Pro Bowl tight end, and you still have Charlie Kohler, who whenever has gotten chances has done a pretty nice job, albeit limited opportunities as a pass catcher. And oh yeah, you added DeAndre Hopkins, so you can use a few more three wide receiver sets if you need to. So, yes, it's unfortunate. Yes, it's a bummer, but it's hardly the most catastrophic news that you're hearing around the league, where you're already hearing teams losing starters for the season. I mean, what, the Browns just lost a starting corner in Emerson to an Achilles. Miami's already lost people. So it can always be worse. But yeah, I mean, especially on the heels of last year. And how many times, Nestor, did even this offseason, I just said to you, they were so healthy last year. And already, Ardarius Washington lost until at least late November, December, whatever it is. And who knows how effective he'll be even if he does make it back. So you lost one starter. And now, in the case of Likely, not being, this isn't Chicken Little here. This isn't the sky is falling, but it's not ideal, especially for him. I mean, it's a big year for him. This is a chance, whether it's big money from the Ravens, which I think it will be when it's all said and done. I think they're going to keep him. Or if not, to another team. Isaiah Likely stands to make a lot of money with how he plays. I mean, it's a bummer on that front. But again, the silver lining is you do have depth at this position. It's one of the very best position groups on either side of the football for this Ravens 2025 roster. And it is early enough that, yeah, I'm not buying any realistic likely chance of him being ready for week one, but that doesn't mean he can't be ready week two or week three and be able to play most of the season at a high level.
I made you say likely
I
that he
did.
would.
I did. I got
I
that.
knew I would do that. All right. So while we're on the tight end position, I'm going to have a shoot moment with you. So the trade deadline's Wednesday, or Thursday. The
Thursday,
last
yeah.
game they played was Wednesday afternoon game, and a lot of afternoon games, like Sunday, Tuesday, went, they were just playing a lot of heat, hot. The 20 people I know that are at the ballpark are sweating their things off out there. And I put the game on, and I'm watching it, whatever. I fell asleep. I woke up. I fell asleep. It was tied. I woke up, and I didn't know who I was, where I was. Afternoon, nap on a 100-degree day. As you know, I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning because I'm that guy planning our 27th anniversary and doing business and selling and bringing new sponsors on, like GBMC, and plotting crab cake tours everywhere for the Maryland Lottery, like all that stuff. So fell asleep and I woke up. I didn't know who I was or where I was. The room was kind of cool and dark. The TV was on. And Melanie Newman is talking to Ben McDonald. I don't know how far after the game this was, whether it was 5 minutes after, 35 minutes after. I don't know if you were still watching it, but it was really the Mullins made the catch. They're showing these stuff. They're giving Mullins and Morton and O'Hearn their exit flowers. It's them doing their version of post-game sports radio. And Ben's just so good. I mean, I've known Ben, as long as almost you've been alive, Luke. I've only seen Ben once recently. I communicate sometimes through channels and avenues with Ben. But Ben once took me out to lunch with Brad Pennington, in a cab outside of the Harbor Castle Westin to eat Benihana. You want some Benihana? Let's go have some Benihana, nasty. So I like Ben and I respect Ben. And In a lot of ways, just I've seen him for 40 years. He was a 1-1 who didn't quite make it, but was always there and always a really regular guy. And I expected to find this prima donna guy when I had a press pass in 92. Didn't find that at all. Find him to be the most regular guy. He's really good at doing this baseball thing. So he's a guy I have a lot of respect for. I just want to throw that in before I say what I'm going to say. He, when I woke up out of this half Sopranos nap, he's staring into the camera with Melanie Newman, and he's like, "Charlie Morton always stood in front of his locker, and that's a stand-up guy because we always stand up in front of the media. We always stand up in front of the media because that's, you know." I woke up to that, and I almost grabbed my phone. I'm like, I want to record this. Like, I'm like, I want a video. I wanted to stop it and record it. And then let's talk about Mark Andrews. This is my Wayne's World. Had Mark Andrews even said anything to anybody about just like rolling out the back door? I mean, I just need to know.
What about not talking? No, I mean,
No, I'm just
we
asking.
talk. I don't know. We talked about this in January, man. I mean, I get
We're in a
it, and
different era.
yeah.
Accountability is not part of the era. I mean, I don't even know what to say. Like, Ben McDonald gets it. That's my point. My
Okay.
point is Ben
I mean,
McDonald gets
I
it.
mean, Nestor, it's almost August. Are we still talking about
No,
this?
no, no. Here's where I'm going to take this
Okay.
with Mark Andrews. He's now the guy again, right? He's now the guy in Buffalo again. He's going to get 55 snaps for, you know, maybe they go four wide. I don't know. I mean, he was sort of a wide receiver in this thing before the thing began. He's now going to have a lane, and I'm not going to say it's likely that, like, unlikely that likely will likely anything, but, you know, Cleveland's week two, and I've seen Flacco talking already. By the way, the thing with him and Aditi Kinkabwala doing the find the
That was
quarterbacks, have you
pretty
seen
cool.
that one?
Yeah, I did. That was pretty
That's
cool.
so Joe. I mean, that's
And that
so
he
Joe
called
Recall's father.
his dad. Yeah,
I
I mean
love
that.
Steve too. It's just
Yeah,
so, like, that's
that
so
was funny.
awesome. So anyway, I can love on Joe even if he's a Brown. Never Steeler though. And then they got Detroit and they got Kansas City. I mean, these are the big games early in the season. This is a real chance for Mark Andrews to be Hall of Good and Hall of I'm really still Jason Witten and I'm still not really washed up and I'm not the guy who dropped the ball and ran off the podium and I'm the guy in the Army commercial and I'm the, you know, like he's the guy again. I like all he's the guy again. And
Yeah.
that's doesn't scare me. I don't think he can't not play. I do always think differently of dudes. I think differently of Elias when he fires his manager and doesn't. I mean, if you're not accountable when you're the guy, when? That's all. Like that's just a real baseline thing for me in life, in life, in life, in life, in life. With a guy who had a pregnant girlfriend at 15, a guy had a wife with cancer, a guy that's hired, fired, stood in front, in behind, out on the internet. I'm big on accountability. I just am. It just changes how I fundamentally feel about human beings when they're not accountable or when they lie, you know, things like that, like Harbaugh. But that's another story altogether. But the Andrews thing is he's back in the spotlight again, and it's not even August as we record. It's July, and now they're counting on him, man. Like,
Well, they were still counting on. I mean, let's not act like he was like their number three tight end or something like that. I mean,
well, how does this change things? And let's talk football. How does it change things
well, but I but
against
it,
Buffalo if likely can't play?
sure, and I mean, Mark Andrews still. It's not as though Isaiah Likely had become tight end one. I mean, this was still at best 1 and 1A. I mean, Mark Andrews caught 11 touchdowns last year. Like and that was with him having a really slow start to the season. Remember, he had the car accident in like mid-August. He got banged up from that. I mean, they kind of downplayed that, but he was banged up from that. He got off to a slow start, but he still finished 55 catches, 673 yards, 11 touchdowns. I mean, that's not Pro Bowl tight end numbers, but that's still above average quality production. So
And he did lose reps as a prime of his career starter because of the emergence of the other tight end.
He did, but it wasn't like this drastic. Oh my gosh, he's barely on the field anymore. I mean, it, you know, that
Dude,
obviously
they
he,
spent 3 years where he was the only one that Lamar could get the ball to.
Sure. But again, my point is, I mean, this is still someone who played a lot last year. So was his target share as great as it was? Yeah, in the Greg Roman offense? No, of course not. But they have better wide receivers too. Like
They have a
it's
better
not,
running back. They
yeah,
have the
I mean,
greatest running back of
well,
the era.
but they've always run the ball a lot. I mean that you know, they ran the ball a lot last year.
Yeah,
Yes,
you do
because
it more when you have Derrick Henry, though.
yeah, but they've run the ball a ton though. That hasn't really changed. But you know, Lamar threw for 4,000 yards last year. So, you know, as far as how it changes them, I look, Andrews will play more. I don't think that necessarily means he's going to be on the field 100% of the snaps either, necessarily, because you still have Charlie Kohler and Patrick Ricard who do the blocking tight end kind of thing for them. So I think Andrews will be on the field a little bit more. I think Kohler will get a few more snaps, but I think this also is going to give them an opportunity to pivot to a little more 11 personnel. I mean, you have DeAndre Hopkins, who you brought in, albeit for $5 million. I'm not saying that he's going to be a 70 snap a game wide receiver and be the guy that he was in Houston, you know, 1,300 yards or anything like that. No, of course not. But it does give you a chance to maybe play him a little bit more early on, play a little more three wide receiver set,
What's his
kind of
advantage at this point in his career?
the fact
If
that
his
he.
advantage was speed, I always saw him as a hands guy, a sideline guy, a guy that could be effective at this point in his career if he was motivated to play. And he's here and very, I mean, that's one of the things with these cats. Not just Antonio Brown being nuts or whatever, just like once you get $80 million in the bank and you're rolling in Vegas in your Maserati, how important is football to you at that point? And, I see a guy who, nude ring fingers change Derrick Henry's and Hopkins and guys who, quite frankly, have a chance to go to the Hall of Fame or already trajectory to be. They're looking for something that gives him an exclamation point that Steve Smith didn't get here, even though he was really good when he was here, his transgressions aside, but trying to get the exclamation point that maybe Matt Burke got here on the field or Anquan Boldin got here on the field, which is a ring and then whatever comes after that.
Yeah, I mean it's a ring and it's playing with Lamar Jackson. I mean very simply. I mean you're talking to, I mean and Hopkins was with Patrick Mahomes. Hopkins played in the Super Bowl this past February. Now it didn't go well for the Chiefs. He was, you know, kind of phased out of being a heavy a big part of their offense down the stretch, which I thought was kind of interesting because you would think it would almost be the opposite. You know, he came in
Yeah, they weren't that great of an offense. It was probably the least powered offense that they, ever took into a
Yeah,
January, right?
but he was more productive actually his first five or six games with Kansas City than he was at the end of the regular season into the postseason. Now, Hollywood Brown was back. Xavier Worthy was emerging as their top wide receiver. You know, Hopkins, he kind of dealt with a knee issue going back to last training camp that I think hindered him over the course of the season. Nothing chronic, but something that, you know, like we just said with Isaiah Likely. Not that I necessarily think this foot injury is going to keep him out long term. Will it affect his effectiveness? You know, when he's back on the field, whether it's September 15th or September 22nd or October 1st, you know, we'll have to see. And again, when you miss that much time in training camp, you always worry about other things creeping up, you know, other soft tissue injuries, what have you. But to bring it back to Hopkins, because you asked what I think he brings for them at this point. He does bring experience. I think he's someone who can still win on the outside, which is something they're still looking for. In a recent conversation you and I had, and this has even come up at the podium at a couple different points, I think there's some appetite for using Zay Flowers in the slot a little bit more. But to do that, you need two guys on the outside. Bateman is one, and I think DeAndre Hopkins can be the other one. So he is still someone who, even if his speed isn't where it was in his prime, you know, if you ask the Ravens, you know, because they track, you know, they've got the catapult vests that they wear underneath their practice jerseys. He still runs really well, and I think they feel that he can be someone who can win contested catches, make contested catches, win 50-50 balls, which we saw him do that for a long time in his career at previous stops. That he can do that. And he can be a target for them, another target for them inside the red zone. Now, all that being said, Do I think that adds up to him being a 900-yard receiver for the Ravens? Probably not, unless you're talking about an injury to Zay Flowers, who, by the way, is banged up with a minor issue right now, but should be back here in the next few days. And I don't think there's any reason to doubt that, at least at this point in time. But unless something happens to Zay Flowers or Rashad Bateman, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins is only going to get so many opportunities. I said it to you at the mo from the moment that they signed him. This feels like the Odell Beckham signing 2 years ago, except at the appropriate price point, right? If Odell Beckham signed for $5 million 2 years ago, I think it would have been okay and fine with the production he gave you. It wasn't amazing, but it was solid number three wide receiver production. And I think that's what DeAndre Hopkins can give you. Now, I mean, he combined in 16 games with Tennessee and Kansas City last year, and understanding the Titans had a dumpster fire quarterback situation. And with Kansas City, he was kind of swimming upstream to know, to learn a new offense and all of that. He had 56 catches for 610 yards and 5 touchdowns. If he's anywhere in that neighborhood this year, I'm not going to project that out that guarantees the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl or anything like that. But I think you would say, oh, for $5 million, that sounds about right. I mean, wide receivers are making $30 million a
If he
year now,
catches,
man.
if he has that kind of productivity, that would be some third down catches. That would be
Sure.
some, win you some ball games. He's going to help you
You would
win
think
ball games.
so.
And
You would think.
I don't, listen, I'm not down on
Oh, and
them
I'm not
in
saying you
any
were.
way with that, but I think you start to chip away at the offense with likely and whatever question marks you might have about Andrews's ability to play 17 games at this point in his career, or whether he's still the primary target for Lamar when he has been consistently. It wouldn't mean, look, if they're on that podium together this year and they win the Super Bowl, those two guys, if they're doing it together after what happened in Buffalo last year, after them being the first guys on the boat here 6, 7 years ago, I mean, Andrews caught passes from Joe Flacco, right? So,
Yeah.
I and also ditched everybody on the podium in Buffalo last year, right? So, like, and was going to be traded in the offseason. So, or given away before the draft for a third round draft pick or something like that, right? Because they felt that they were that high on likely. And you're saying the whole league will be high on likely if he gets back on the field. That might be October, and that's fine. But then they got to go win games. And that's where this thing about Buffalo in the front of this and Cleveland that everybody's given up for dead and they're going to stink again. But everybody likes Detroit, certainly Kansas City. It's just such a tough first month that all these days with you out there running around out in the heat. And asking questions and trying to figure out what they're trying to do, which is keep everybody healthy.
Yeah.
And they're not evaluating much because they have all this veteran talent. They're a favorite to win the Super Bowl. The questions they have are much smaller questions in totality than the Cleveland Browns have when they lose their corner. But I mean, the health part of this in the early part of the year. For a team that already has Marlon Humphrey and Ronnie Stanley and Jaire Alexander, some guys that have been a little older, a little more brittle, a little bit more, can they get on the field? Andrews was that guy last year. I know it was a car accident, but I just, Flowers a little banged up this week. It
Yeah.
just changes the complexion of all of it when you don't have your horse for the course.
Yeah, I mean, no question. But you can say that about every team, right? I mean, it's in the salary cap era, you've
How
got
much
me.
hitting are they doing out there right now? Give me a little report on that. I
Oh,
mean, that's where I am is these guys are getting hurt. Give me a, because I'm a half paying attention to it because I'm sort of locked out and I can't deal with Cassie and the Ravens. I'm not doing that. But I do that with Melanie and Ben. I've already given them their plug here today. But for me, watching it from afar, they're probably. I mean, I remember Preston used to call it Camp Cream Puff for Billick 20 years ago when they
yeah.
were doing do-a-days in Westminster. You've talked about it at length, but what have you seen out there in regard to helmets and shells into the ground and red jerseys?
Yeah, well, I mean, they had their first three padded practices Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They practiced in pads 3 days in a row. I'll be honest, and you're allowed to do that. The CBA mandates that you can't do more than 3 straight days of full pads. But I'd be honest with you, and this is anecdotal. This is not me having kept track of this and my memory being Jim Palmer-like that I would remember this with absolute certainty. I can't recall too many years recently, too many training camps in recent years where they've done pads 3 days in a row like that. So that was interesting. Now, that being said, it's hitting to wrapping someone up. They did do a fully live period at the end of Wednesday's practice. It was third team guys. I mean, like Teddy Buchanan, their rookie fourth round linebacker, was one of the most notable players on the field. Keaton Mitchell, maybe the most notable player on the field. But it was third team guys. You know, it was Devin Leary was a quarterback for the third string offense, and a bunch of guys that I've barely heard of, let alone, you know, someone who's not out there every day
So you
and
said
paying.
Keaton Mitchell, and we're trying to put this offense together and thought about him
Oh,
a year and a half,
he's
right at
intriguing.
all. And I'm thinking to myself, there's a guy there that might have, by the end of the year, 70 runs, 50 catches. You know, he may be a key part of what they can do in some weird Todd Monken way to have the fastest guy on the field be the other guy with Lamar and Zay. Like they could kill you with speed, because that's one thing I haven't seen is him and Derrick Henry so much right together.
Yeah. I mean, I would temper that a little bit just from the standpoint of they really love Justice Hill. And Justice Hill had a heck of a year last year, right? So you have Justice Hill in that equation. Now, an injury changes everything, right? I mean, in the same way now we're talking about Mark Andrews potentially playing more, Charlie Kohler playing more. Maybe that's more snaps for DeAndre Hopkins and you go a little more 11 personnel rather than 12 personnel.
The Orioles should have this problem with their pitching depth that we
I
sit
know,
here and
right?
just sort of like, go
Well,
ahead, I'm sorry.
although most teams in baseball are saying that about their pitching at this
Right.
point. I mean,
Well,
it's
you
just,
wonder why the
yeah,
Ravens are a Super Bowl
sure.
contender. This is part of the, you know.
They have good depth, right? So, but you know, Keaton Mitchell's going to be interesting. I mean, and you know, could he get three, four, five touches a game on offense? I think he's going to be there. I think there's a good chance he's going to be their primary kick returner. So I think that's kind of interesting, especially, you know, this different kickoff that we saw implemented last year. I've heard coaches say that it's not terribly different from an outside zone scheme in terms of how you draw up your blocking and everything. And Keaton Mitchell is someone that I think could be really successful doing something like that. So maybe we see him more so in that capacity early on. But yeah, if he's healthy and right, and if his speed looks more in line with where he was 2 years ago, then yeah, you want to find some ways to get him some touches. Now, you still have Derrick Henry. You still have Lamar Jackson, who doesn't run as much as he did 5 years ago, but you don't want him to not run at all. I mean, that would be dumb too. So, you know, there's one football, right? And that's part of what we've been talking about with, you know, Andrews and Likely, these three wide receivers, Lamar, Derrick Henry, Justice Hill. But, you know, I remind everyone, Keaton Mitchell, 2 years ago before his awful knee injury, he averaged 8.4 yards per carry. Now, it was 47 carries. It wasn't a huge sample, but he was electric every time they gave him the football. So there's another wild card to throw in there. But Todd Monken even acknowledged it in his first podium at camp late last week, where he kind of said, look, we really like Keaton Mitchell, but we do have Derrick Henry. We do have Justice Hill. We have Lamar Jackson, who's the greatest rushing quarterback in the history of the NFL. So there is only one football, but it's a great option to have. And you never know what's going to happen, right? I mean, we're already seeing a couple injuries here. One really serious back in the spring with Ardarius Washington. Isaiah Likely, it's not serious, but it's moderate. You know, he's going to miss all of the preseason. That's not ideal. You know, but that creates an opportunity for someone else. So, yeah, Keaton Mitchell, I can't sit here with any conviction and say, oh, yeah, he's going to run for 500 yards and he's going to have 300 receiving yards. But there's a scenario where that happens, right? Derrick Henry could turn an ankle and miss 3 games, right? I mean, Justice Hill has had in major injuries in the past. So you never quite know, but that's why you're trying to build and have as much roster depth as you can have. Do they have some positions where it's light? Absolutely. They get one injury to their offensive line, shaky at best, right? I mean, some people would say it's shaky even as it's presently constructed. I have more confidence in that, but they don't have a ton of depth on their offensive line. Inside linebacker. Okay, we could say what we want about Trenton Simpson and Teddy Buchanan. What happens if something happens to Roquan Smith? What does that position look like then, right? So you're always going to have a couple spots on the field where you're kind of keeping your fingers crossed and you're holding your breath because you can't have great depth everywhere. I mean, you just can't. I mean, this is maybe the best roster of the NFL. If it's not the best, it's certainly a top three or four roster in my mind. But I just gave you a couple position groups where things are a little bit dicey. Safety. You love Kyle Hamilton. You love Malachi Starks. Heaven forbid something happens to one of those guys. In addition to what's already happened to Ardarius Washington, then you're talking about Sanusi Kane or Bo Braid. I mean, I like those guys as developmental backup players, but those guys aren't ready to be starting players. So then you'd be talking about going and getting a veteran. So you're always trying to, you want to have depth at the most premium positions. Like, for example, corner. The Ravens have, on paper, they have really good depth at corner now. I'll acknowledge a couple of those guys in that group do have injury histories, but when Chidobe Awuzie is your number four corner on paper right now, that's good depth because that's a starting caliber corner right there when he's healthy. So, yeah, they have depth at corner. They have depth at tight end. Running back, they have a lot of depth at running back. I mean, because we just talked about Keaton Mitchell and the fact that I don't know if he's going to get the football a lot, even though he's a talented player. But you just hope that when you do have some injuries, because you know you're going to have some, and they're already experiencing that, that they happen at a spot where you can endure it a little bit better than some other spots. But, people will also say, it always seems to happen at a spot where you can least afford it to happen. So that's not the case with Likely, but that's where you do look at this thing and say, all right, I'm buying the starting offensive line, but those backups, boy, you're going to miss Patrick McCary. And I'm not begrudging them. Patrick McCary got more money in Jacksonville than I would have paid him to stay in Baltimore. So God bless him. Good for him. He got paid. He deserved it. But, that's where you look at this thing, and every team is in this category where even the best teams have two or three position groups where right now their GM and their head coach, they're having their daily conversations and they're saying, man, we can't have that guy go down because then we'll be in trouble. But, the Likely thing's unfortunate. But again, much rather have this happen in late July than a month from now. And then we're talking about him missing the first five or six games.
Luke Jones is on the field, Owings Mills. We'll be getting all the Orioles trade activities through the deadline, through the weekend. And we're going to talk about the death of Ryan Sandberg as the Orioles are out in Chicago this weekend. I'm bringing on some pretty cool guests. I have booked on the artist who created the Nasty theme song back in the 1990s, Kwame, who is going into the Hip Hop Hall of Fame. So it's going to be a wild week around here. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is back out on the road. Our 27th anniversary is here. You'll hear some fun conversations over the weekend as we get ready to celebrate 27 great places to eat on behalf of our friends at Curio Wellness. I am Nestor. He is Luke. Baseball, football, summer, food, crab cakes. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.